strokes. Well, good morning, everybody. Oh, we're getting double talk here, Jason. I can hear myself instantly. There we go. All right, that's good. That was, we had that problem years ago with a different type of equipment, and Ann Clapp and I had to endure that for 3 hours.
Oh no.
Yeah, I had to. It was so Ann. Somebody was afraid Ann had had a stroke because she started talking so slowly. I was talking faster and she was talking slower. I was trying to beat the other voice,
beat the
and
echo.
she was trying to sink herself. I guess I don't know. At any rate, we're here at J.E. Wumble and Son in Lillington. What a pleasant drive! We solved all the problems of the world. And we have the king of the problem solvers with us this morning, as usual, Brother Rufus Edmonston.
And how about problem maker?
Well, I'm sure that some of your political enemies would say that you are, but I contend.
I don't think I have any right now, because you get to a certain age, you've been out, and you're a recovering politician. You have more friends than you have. They
right.
had before, and when you keep good company, like Phil Campbell,
it makes you
a better person.
I agree with
well,
that.
I appreciate
as we
that.
Were coming down, I mentioned to both of you that we had a 52nd anniversary last night of the Watergate boys that went to work with me in Washington D.C. during the Watergate years, and they're North Carolina boys. Gene Boyce and Lacey Pressel and Mike Carpenter and Jim Stewart and others. And we just had a wonderful time reminiscing about 52 years ago.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I was. So were you celebrating the 74? You were celebrating 72.
The 72, the break-in of the Watergate complex was June the 17th.
So y'all were celebrating the break-in?
Yeah, we were celebrating the break-in.
Those men wearing suits?
Yeah, those men wearing suits that I kept saying, what in the world are they doing wearing suits?
That's good. Well, I'm glad y'all had a good time and some really great company. Can you hear okay now?
I can. Yes, I can hear.
All right. Well, I'll get those fancy earbuds replaced. So they ain't working. 919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF, and J.E. Wumble, where if they don't have it, you don't need it. That's what they said. Now, Phil and I have already done some business here. I bought a weed eater type, they call it a weed eater, but it's a weeder. It's a steel weeder. And you got two things that cut.
And I got Carlton.
You aren't going to start them up while you're in the car, are you?
No.
Okay.
I got Carlton Father's Day present. How about that? Tomorrow's Father's Day, so everybody come on down and get those Father's Day gifts here. They've got everything. Got a chainsaw, a battery-operated chainsaw, and some battery-operated clippers, which Rufus says that you can't do without. So
I'm going to have to get some of those. I didn't even see them. But
well,
they
it's a miniature chainsaw. The blade would be about 6 inches, and you can cut a limb up to 3 inches in diameter, but if you've cut down a bush and you want to prune it, oh, it's the most wonderful thing in the world.
So do you have to use any chainsaw oil or anything?
Yeah, you carry a little.
It doesn't have
a self.
Yeah, you just oil it. Yeah, there we go. I was going to say, Sue, please bring us that.
I don't want to
And there's
cut.
A little battery.
I don't want to cut anything in,
How does that,
in half.
Does that battery have a charger? Because
yeah,
I didn't think I saw
put,
one.
Hey, Sue, come over here and put that thing on. Talk to us.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, you just plug your charger into the wall.
Oh, into the wall. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you stick that little thing she's got into it when you
There's your battery.
Yeah.
That's a hot little item, especially at Christmas time. We sell them.
Well, and it's Father's Day tomorrow.
Father's Day.
Yes, we have to.
And I have to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there from J.E. Womble.
Right, and if you want to get the best gifts in the world, come on down.
Yes, come on down.
Because it's really, that's great.
You got to oil this thing every once in a while?
Yes, sir, there's a little.
How do you know when to oil it? You
just flip that up.
Does it say, I need oil?
Right there.
Yeah, but how do you know when to?
Well.
You oil it after every.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
You use common sense after about 5 minutes.
What if you ain't got common sense?
Just keep cutting.
Where do you put the oil?
You just lift that up and put it over. Oil the chain.
Okay. Yeah, take the battery out before you do that.
Yeah, take the battery out.
Well, that's really cool.
It is.
You don't have to take the battery out.
I don't think I'm going to let my workers know that I have that.
No,
well,
don't.
It has a safety on it.
I take it out because if kids come into the
store. Right. Sure. Yeah. Sure.
That's good. But you've got several different sizes of the steel battery operated chainsaws.
Yes, I'm going to let Preston come on. Preston is our steel guy.
Yeah, Preston.
He helped
over
me.
Here. He helped both of us.
Yeah, he helped us. Yes. He's really good.
All right.
You have Greenworks, too, but steel, Preston is an incredible name, American-made, and they work and work and work, don't they?
They do.
Yeah. So, tell us about what we bought here. I bought a weeder. There are a lot of different weeders over there. I got the homeowner would buy normally, not somebody
you
who
got the FSA 57.
Yeah, and it will do the job. It looks like, and also you can really extend it.
You can
out.
Yeah,
and I think all of them are like that, which is good. It has really good balance on it, and the cartridges for the line easy to chain.
Now that's a point that I was going to ask about. It used to be the devil to have to put the string back in one.
That's true.
It's extremely easy. They have the one he got. They just have cartridges, and all you do is pull them out and put a new one in, and you're ready to go.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have other weed eaters that are gas powered, and they have a quick load head. You just cut 20 feet of line, run it through, and spin it on up, and you're done.
But they were the name. They were the company for so many years with the gas powered stuff. But they have really jumped on this and perfected this battery powered stuff, and people are buying both, I'm sure.
Yeah. Everybody likes the battery stuff, and everybody likes the gas stuff.
It's so convenient. It's just, but I mean, they all are made well, and you can tell that they're made well. Tell us about this tiny chainsaw. It's kind of a hand pruner.
The GTA 26.
Yeah.
It's just a little. It'll cut about 2-inch round branches pruning.
Yeah.
So you can cut almost what you need to.
And how long would that battery run about?
Longer than you want to work.
That's what I figured. Well, you said the chainsaw was like 45 minutes or something.
The chainsaw is about 45 minutes. The weed eater's about 45 minutes.
That's that little handsaw is more than an hour.
Yeah.
I know.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't even know if they give you a time frame. It just
says
it's going to work until you're done, and then you can charge the battery.
Now, how often should you charge the battery?
It depends on how often you use it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would always put a fully charged battery in before I run anything. Just gives you the best runtime.
Right.
But, I mean, usually with most things, you're going to charge it after you use it.
Yeah. So, I guess, Phil's case, did yours come with a charger? Does it come with a charger?
Yeah.
Yeah, my weeder did. So
yeah, my saw did.
Does it have a cutoff for a specific time? I mean, does it know when it's... Obviously, it knows when it's fully charged.
When it's fully charged, sit there.
Because I know there's always contention about, like phone batteries, you shouldn't charge it 100% all the time and so forth. So it's you have to learn these things in order to maintain them.
Yeah, these are just, it's a heavy-duty battery, I guess.
Yeah.
It's something that you just want to charge before, you have a fully charged one before, and you're going to want to charge it when you're done.
Now, you were talking about what I bought was on sale. The weeder I bought was on sale, but also I bought an extra battery, and that extended the – you told me that extended the warranty on it, and it already has pretty good warranty.
Yeah, so with battery stuff right now, if you buy an extra battery, it'll extend the warranty. And then with gas stuff, if you buy a six-pack of their high-performance synthetic oil or a gallon of premix gas, it doubles your warranty.
Yeah, premix is a good thing because mixing
that's what I
fuel
use.
And
you're
and
always out of something,
just,
right? You go get your gas, well, and it's like, oh, man,
you
I
might
forgot
mix
to
it wrong. You might
well,
have
that's
the wrong
true
ratio, too.
It's, right.
Premix is nice because it's non-ethanol gas, so it's not going to gum up your engine.
Right.
It's got a fuel stabilizer in it, so you don't have to use all of it at once. And then it's also got the oil already mixed in. It's ready to go.
Wow.
Well, yeah, lazy person. Absolutely. By the way, are you guys talking about a weed eater?
A weed eater? Well, I mean, that's a kind of a trade name. That was, I guess, the first, but it's a weeder. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
the standard
yeah
weeder for weeding the yard.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, they have both.
Never had a piece of equipment that wasn't steel. We had a dealer in Raleigh, an old crutchety fellow that used to work for Southern Bell, and on the side he had a steel dealership that was some 40 to 50 years ago.
Wow, yeah. I mean, it's a great name.
They back up. It's a German company, but they build all their stuff in Virginia.
Right, around the Norfolk area.
So they have the mindset of a German engineered product, but it's American built.
Yeah.
They're great products. We sell a lot of them, and everybody loves them when they get them.
And I recommend buying an extra battery. It's really, I think it's a good step.
It's always good to have an extra battery.
Yeah.
Because you never know.
Keep one charged and pop it in and put the other one in and start charging that. So, yeah, you're in good shape. Preston, what I bought was on sale. Do you have any other sales going on for steel products?
Yeah, we do. We have the FS56 and the FS91R. They're two weed eaters that are gas powered. One's a homeowner one and one's a commercial one. They're both on sale.
Yeah.
The FS56 is $199.99. It's $200. And the 91 is $300. It's $60 off its original price.
Now, what was how much is the tiny chainsaw that Phil bought? How much is that?
$179.99.
Okay.
Steel.
Yeah, steel. This
that's
is
really
steel.
I'm talking about steel at that price.
Right. Yeah.
I paid $200 for mine.
Yeah.
Those little pruning saws are one of the most popular things that steel makes.
I bet so. Wow. All right. Well, I thank you very much, Preston. Very good information.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And thank you for your help.
Absolutely.
It's nice to have someone to help you that has worked with them and knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Yes, I really,
really
appreciate that.
Not somebody just to point you in
right
the direction.
Oh, they're right over there.
So is Carlton going to use both of these? Or are you getting both of them for
Father's
Day? No,
he will probably use the chainsaw. I got another battery, so that's, an hour and a half or a little more.
So you're going to convince him that the other one is a chainsaw too?
No, probably not. He doesn't do much trimming and yard work.
Oh, he does.
But the good thing I like is, you know, with Carlton's heart things that are going on, he won't have to pull the rope.
That's
and just keep trying to get it started.
Yeah.
Amen.
And mess with trying to put gas and mixing oil and like we're talking about, he won't have to do all that, and it'll be fun. It'll just be kind of neat for him to go out and do that.
I might have to get that chainsaw from Melissa.
Yeah, he feels like, you know, right now he can't do anything. He's frustrated, so maybe this will help him so he can play around a little bit.
He's got to heal a little bit. Yeah. A little bit more, hadn't he?
Well, he just didn't have the energy.
Oh, okay.
So, but he's –
well, time to try getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning every
yeah,
day.
Yeah, really.
I don't have any energy.
Oh, Lordy. Yeah, I know.
All right, we're at J.E. Wumble. If you want steel, if they don't have it, you don't need it kind of place, then come on out. We're in Lillington, and a lot of great people in Harnett County. Tell us about your trip to Wilkesboro with Representative Howard Penny, who represents Harnett County.
Yeah, that was the second anniversary of the opening up of the Wilkes County track.
Yeah.
That's where I grew up. I remember coming down there with a local man that ran a garage.
And I understand that they found a liquor operation under the grandstands.
Well, somebody just couldn't help themselves.
So that was there, and the revenueers didn't know about
it? That was a Wilkes County characteristic. Some old boy just couldn't help himself, so he had to put a still up.
Yeah.
But this was such a beautiful, beautiful little track, as you know, Wilkesboro's little track.
I'm so glad that they renovated
And our friend, Representative Howard Penny, who I hope will come by today. We're in his we're in his county today.
I know, but he's also a farmer.
Oh, absolutely, a real farmer.
So he's got, they have to work.
Well, we talk more about farming on the way up there and the way back than anything else. And it was just, I saw Marcus Smith, the son of Bruton Smith, the beginning owner. And Marcus was, when I first met him, was a very young kid, maybe 4 or 5 years old.
He was a brilliant guy.
And
really gone,
grown up now and running the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it was just, we saw plenty of folks there that a lot of folks from the legislature were there because they've got something called the NASCAR caucus.
Well,
Folks in the legislature.
If I was in the legislature, I would join that caucus because I love, I grew
and
up.
Man, the legislature did fund a lot on getting the Wilkesboro track back together.
Uh-huh.
And it had rained the night before, though, and were there some folks out there?
I saw some of those pictures.
Ooh, man, were there some folks stuck up?
You didn't fall down into the mud, did you?
No, we had some of that nice parking because of Representative Penny being somebody now with an old.
Well, you're somebody
like
too. yeah.
No, when you're a recovering politician, you don't have the
privileges.
Zip. You don't have the zip that a current one does.
Oh, is it called Zip?
Yeah, I think Zip. But it was a wonderful treasure trip. Oh, and he had offered me to go with him the next week to Charlotte. And after you go to Wilkesboro, you don't want to go fight. I didn't want to go fight all the crowds and the folks in Charlotte.
I hope that they will continue this.
Gracious goodness, you're talking about Harnett County. Look who just showed up here. That's our friend Eric Gallion, native of wonderful Harnett County.
We'll take a break, and we'll be back and talk with Eric.
Yeah.
Here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener, we'll talk a little gardening, too. Okay, it rained last night at my house.
Well, welcome. What time did you get home?
Yeah. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. Oh, it's 8:25. Let's talk about his shoes, folks. Yeah, we're talking about these On Cloud shoes that all of us seem to be wearing. Well, you're listening to the Weekend Gardener here on WPTF. We're at J.E. Womble & Son in Harnett County in Lillington. Scott is in Winston-Salem. Scott, good morning. You're on the Weekend Gardener.
Good morning, fellas. How are we doing today?
Everything's all right. How about up your way?
Well, it's dry, very, very dry.
Yeah, it is down here, too. We had a little shower that did capture my neighborhood this morning. Rufus said he had a little sprinkle, but it was nice to have something there.
Well,
but,
consider yourself lucky.
I really do. So, it's dry all over, but it's something we've come to expect in North Carolina. And the only way we ever get rid of it totally is through, unfortunately, tropical weather.
Yeah, hurricanes.
Yeah.
That's terrible to say. I'm waiting for the
I know it
hurricane
is.
So I can water.
I know. I was hoping we were going to, but we had a cold front, quote unquote, come through. And that system that has affected Florida is not going to do anything to us except give us rip currents on the coast. And so that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It'd been nice to have some of that rain.
Yeah.
Not 2 feet of rain like they got around Miami, but
yeah.
God, he referred to it as a cold snap in about 93.
Well, it's supposed to be a little more, less humid today, I'm told.
Yeah, sure it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll get out and test that. But, what's on your mind, Scott?
Well, I've been trying to call you guys, but I had a heart attack in September, so that put me back.
I'm sorry. I'm glad you're okay. You healing up all right?
Well, I decided it was actually on my 45th anniversary. I decided instead of going to an all-expense-paid European vacation for a month, to go to Baptist Hospital and have them give me some surgery. It cost about the same.
You got a tune-up. It cost about the same, right?
Yeah. Well, they paid you a lot of attention, didn't they?
Yeah.
Now they put three stents in some artery. I know they told me, but you know, to be honest with you, at the time I didn't care.
Yeah, you didn't count at any rate.
That's well, they right. Didn't, I wasn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't there. I was there, right. But I wasn't there. So,
you
know,
oh,
I
Lord.
Know the guys. Well, they'd had some a very nice way to do it. Now instead of going in through your groin, they went in through your wrist. And when the guy put the catheter into the wrist, I said, "Wow, that was painful or unpleasant." And he says, "Oh, don't worry about it." And the next thing I knew, everybody was walking out of the room. So it was a
what happened?
What happened? Yeah, they put those three stents in me. That's what happened.
Isn't that nice though? To
that is
to
nice.
Miss it all.
Well, I don't need to be here for this anyway. There's not a whole lot I can offer in the
like a colonoscopy.
Go this way instead of that way.
Right.
If you're doing that. Yeah. If you're doing that, and you don't know what to do. Well, I don't want to do that anyway.
As Rufus says, at least they didn't have to gut you.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what they told me. They said, if you have more than two stents, we're going to have to crack you open. I said, okay. And then I woke up and said, well, we put three stents on you. And I started feeling around. And I said, well, you guys didn't do what you said you were going to do. Well, we really didn't have to.
Right. Said,
okay, well, I wish you really hadn't have told me that then, you know.
All right.
So you need to watch
make
your
sure you take thing. Care of yourself from now on, Scott.
No, I try to. And so in regard to that, about a month after it, and then here's the question. I know I've rambled on, but here's the question.
That's all right. That's what we do
about
on this
a month
show.
After that, I went and found a fantastic deal on a hip laurel or a ship laurel, however you want to pronounce it. At one of the big box stores, and it looked fantastic. It was a 3-gallon plant. It was vibrant. It looked good, but doggone it, they only had one. So I bought the thing and left it there because my wife said, not only are you not going to plant that plant, you may never plant that plant. And I said, that's not going to happen. So it stayed in the pot for a couple of months. And then last year I put it in the ground. And almost, I don't know, not immediately, but certainly within a month, it looked like every leaf on that plant had been dipped in chocolate. And, you know, like half the top half of the leaf was just as dead as 4 o'clock. And I don't know what.
Scott, I never got what was the plant again? I didn't get
the name. Some type of laurel.
Skip laurel.
Skip laurel. I bought it. Because we see these things in Chick-fil-A's, you know, around the drive-thrus and stuff like that, and they were just full of flowers, and I still have bees, and I thought, well, there's something that the bees could enjoy, you know, something like that. So the idea was to plant it for that and get some more, but I'm worried about what the problem is, and it's in full sun. I've watered it. I haven't fertilized it much. Because it just, you know, wasn't that time of year for it. And then in the spring, it really looked like it was going to, you know, bite the bullet. So I was wondering if you guys had any ideas of what it might be, any suggestions of what I might do, or if I just need to dig another hole and find another plant.
Well, one of the things that I'm thinking as I'm listening to you is that you did let it sit in the pot for a while. And mm-hmm. sometimes if a plant, and not necessarily while you had it, if you let a plant sit in a pot and it misses water several times, then what'll happen, it might not die immediately, but it stresses it, and then you put it in, and it may die a little later. It's not necessarily going to kill it right then.
Okay.
So it's kind of like us, you know, you take a little stress, a little stress, a little stress, and then one more thing hits you, and you go down.
Yeah, I remember
so,
that day. Yeah.
What's that?
I remember that day.
yeah.
Went on down.
So, I would give it, I would just, you know, it's mighty hot right now. It's really dry down here. And were you in Winston-Salem?
Right.
Winston-Salem, yeah. Yes.
Okay. And I don't know how close you are to King, but my brother may have some more of those up at Mitchell's Nursery.
Yeah, I was up there
and,
the other day.
What's that?
You were up there the other day?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wonderful.
I know your brother. And
oh, okay. Like, well, just check in with them and just watch it. I mean, give it a little while and see what happens. I don't know of anything else except that it might have gotten too dry. I would not fertilize it.
Yeah,
okay?
Definitely
because
not.
Because that's going to make that's going to put
up.
More stress on it.
Right.
Well, Scott, you mentioned something about the leaves turning chocolate. Now, that tells me that you've got some sort of either bad bug infestation or you've got a wilt. And I've come to the stage in life, Phil, and where would something rather than trying to rehabilitate something that's just plain ugly and going to wear me to death, I dig it out and start again.
Well, the other thing you can do is cut it back a little bit to take some of the stress off of it and see if it comes out from that.
Right. Well, I consider doing that because the top is nothing but sticks now. I mean, they look like they've dipped in chocolate, but the leaves have since fallen and, you know, kind of, you know, up here we've got so many deer. They reduced one of my arborvitae to a stump.
And, oh, Lord.
Yeah, I mean, they went after that thing.
All right.
So this is, it's turned into cutting material. I didn't want that to happen to this thing because even though I got a good deal with it, I hate to kill any plant that you buy.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and my wife certainly hates that. She's you keep buying stuff and killing it. And I said, well, you keep buying chips and eating them, so what the heck, honey?
Well, like I said,
we don't want to get in the middle of that.
No.
I wouldn't. I would never say that if she was here.
You would never say that on a radio station, would you?
No, I wouldn't say that. Recorded.
Well, that's all right. We don't know your last name.
No, it's all right.
I'm sure people recognize you, though.
Let's not go there. We're not going.
All right. All right. I'm trying to get you in trouble.
They make chips every day, and they just like they make plants every day. I go get another bag of them for me. So, yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
I would go in and cut it back a little bit and see if it comes out. And if it doesn't, you may just have to replace
it. Are the stems viable? I mean, do they bend? Pliable,
I know. I did one a while ago, and, it was bending, but, you know, it doesn't have much green in it now. It's a sad, sad-looking plant. And like I said, it was cheap, and it was bought at probably – you know, at the very end of when you should have put it in the ground. But just like the chainsaws, I'm about done digging a whole lot of holes.
Well, it could be one of those things you get what you pay for, you know?
Yeah, that's one thing. It's hard to find a hole digger.
Yeah.
An electric battery-operated hole digger.
There's one over here.
That's a hole digger?
But just on the other side.
Oh, but doggone.
It's an auger,
DeWalt?
No, that's a cat. Yeah, you're talking about the cat? Oh, that's a big old thing.
No, it's behind the green.
Oh, okay. I'll have
to look
at that.
There's one over there. It's an auger, a battery-powered auger.
Oh, my
gosh.
Yeah,
I've seen those, too.
Rufus, do you have one of those?
I certainly don't. I got post hole diggers.
Well, that sounds like something you need.
I'm afraid to stand up on a shovel sometimes, Scott, for falling over.
Yeah.
And
oh, me too. I fell over yesterday.
For doing a lot of minor holes, I use post hole diggers.
Yeah.
They don't have to get off balance.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather take a beating. So you go ahead and take those. Keep those to yourself. Keep that kind of thing to yourself.
Yeah,
I'd be using those anyway.
Battery operated post hole digger. That I'm right.
Yeah. I mean, they're handy. Everything's battery. I'm going to go to a steel battery. Chainsaw before it's over with because
Phil just bought one.
I just bought one.
All kinds of different sizes, too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I want the biggest of the big because I'm just
well, they got
way.
It. They got it.
Yeah, they have the ones for homeowners and the ones for like landscape
people that wear chaps.
Yeah. Hard hats.
Well, I wear chaps, but
oh, you do. Well, Rufus, you have some. You have some too, don't you? Chaps.
I certainly do.
Leather chaps.
Never had them on.
They have suspenders.
Right got them in case he needs them.
Now, Scott, if you want something to play with, get that little 6-inch steel chainsaw that's for trimming.
I saw that. Yeah.
You'll walk around for hours just saying, "What can I trim?"
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got a gladiola here I need to trim up. And
well, I don't think you need that. I don't think you need it for that. Get a pair of scissors for that.
Here's a row of beans I could trim up, you know, if you do that.
Yeah. Well, but, Scott, good luck with that plant. I wish you'd called us back and tell us you're all right and also tell us about your plant.
Well, everything, you know, no matter what happens, everything's going to be okay.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Commissioner Graham used to say that, so.
That's right.
I'm glad.
No doubt about it. You guys have a great day.
I hope you do, too.
You too.
All right.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. We have a guest who will tell us a little bit about a special program of the state legislature that seems to go on and on and on and educates a lot of young people. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. We're at J.E. Wumble and Son in Lillington. It's 8:47. Cinnamon rolls, everybody. Phil brought cinnamon rolls. How about that? We're at J.E. Wumble and Son. If there are any left, Sue's giving them out to customers, too. So, Erica, how are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Yeah. So, I'm going to let Rufus interview you. Rufus?
Well.
I recognize the gentleman from Wilkes County for 5 minutes.
Well,
ten minutes.
If I were from Wilkes County, they'd kill me in Watauga.
Watauga, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We were talking about Wilkes County.
Well, first of all, Erica is from Harnett County, a native.
That's right.
And she has been working with the General Assembly of North Carolina for a number of years. And I first met Erica one time here in the county when she was the head of an organization, I believe, for battered women. Is that correct, Erica?
That's correct.
Oh, wow.
And Erica has a great interest that would fall into you and Phil's love of my super kids.
Right.
Her whole operation involves training young people. Now, Erica, let me ask you this question. What motivated you to want to do this in the first place?
And what exactly do you do at the legislature?
Well, I'll start by the motivation. I think it's a good opportunity to train students to get them prepared for the future and to be a mentor to them. And to go back to what you asked, Mike, what exactly do I do? We have a 3-day mock legislative session with high school students where students get to come in and be legislators for the weekend. And it's totally not political. The students, it's a bipartisan program. The students get to decide how they want to debate, their feeling. We don't show favoritism one side or the other. But what I have watched these students, they start their first year, they will not debate a bill, they will not speak. But they'll come back the next year and sometimes apply for leadership. And those are the students that will really blow you away the next year with their debating and their speaking. And to watch these students go from not speaking at all to, in some cases, being literally the Speaker of the House and running the debates for the weekend, it's really amazing to watch these students.
Do y'all actually use the chambers?
We do not use the chambers. We use the two big committee rooms.
Right.
But in reality, that's where all the business takes place.
It's true.
By the time it hits the chamber floor, it's just more for the vote.
Formalities, yeah. Yeah. So are these high school or college?
They're high school students, but we also have 2 years ago, we expanded out the program, and we also have a community college component where we have a one-day event.
Now, what motivates them to do this? Are they interested in becoming politicians or interested in government?
Some are interested in politics. Some are interested in leadership. Various reasons that they want to do it. I had a student one time to say there's three reasons students attend YLA. Number one, a friend tells them you got to go so you can be my roommate. Number two, your mother tells you.
Now that was an honest one.
Yeah.
Your mother tells you, you've got to go. I heard it's a good program.
Yeah.
Or number three, they actually have an interest in government or politics. He said, but no matter what reason got you there, you will continue to stay there.
Well, it's a great training program in civility. Erica would not put up with somebody being rude, ugly.
No.
It is thanking the people who helped you get where you are. It's learning the skills of life and getting along, whether you go into government or whatever. You learn these skills of how to convince someone to adopt your point of view, but do it in a decent, humane, civilized way. And I have been part of that program at Erica's request for a number of years. And it's amazing to me that some of these kids come up with legislation that's a lot better than the some of the stuff I've seen out of the legislature themselves. And it's fun to watch them because they're it's so enthusiastic. And it's a great program. I used to go to a thing that they had, Mike, where they did meet when I was at Carolina. I forgot what they called it, Erica, but we met in the old house chamber in Raleigh. And I think the thing does, State Student Legislature.
Yeah, I did that.
North Carolina State.
Yeah.
I did that. We had it at the Sir Walter Hotel.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
We had a dinner and I sat beside Thad.
Well, you were in one of the last public events they held there then.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, like 73, 74.
Yeah, and I held the last political event there. My 74 victory as Attorney General was in the Virginia Dare Ballroom.
That was where many legislators.
Hotel.
That's where legislation was made and decided. And you know, those were the committee rooms.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So, well, they quit using the Sir Walter Raleigh, they actually started going to the Doubletree Brownstone, or at that time just called
Brownstone,
the Brownstone.
Yes.
And we were fortunate enough that we used the Brownstone for several years until they sold it. So I would always open and tell the student, this may look like a normal hotel, but what you don't understand is this is a piece of North Carolina legislative history.
It truly is. I sat in Jack Hawk's room, a suite, the night that he lost, unfortunately, for Congress, and he was expected to win.
Yep.
Mr. Helms was expected to lose, but that didn't happen. Senator Helms, Jesse Helms, became a senator that night, 1972. So, it's a very historic hotel.
And a man from Boone, North Carolina, became governor, Jim Holzhauser.
Right.
A very fine family. And Erica, how, if a person or a parent wanted to get into the program, how do they get into your program? How do you choose them?
There is an application process, and look at application. They must be in good standing with their high school, so they can't be have a lot of problems. They've got to come in and be willing and able to kind of be independent that weekend. We have chaperones. We have security
at night.
So they have to come in and be mature enough that they know they've got to be downstairs at 9 o'clock to get on the bus.
Right. Because
I'm not running around knocking on doors saying, everybody wake up.
Yeah.
So it's got to be somebody who can come in and be mature enough to handle a very rigid agenda. A lot of students, they think, oh, I'll have a weekend away. And when they see the agenda, it's like, we're going to do all the, we're literally hitting the ground running from 7 o'clock in the morning to midnight.
Right.
Sounds like a certain radio announcer I know.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm still hitting the ground. Not hard, but.
Well, you're in rest mode by 7 o'clock in the morning.
No, I don't rest. I don't rest when I'm at work at all. Erica, thank you so much. What a wonderful program. Teaches students so many things. How do people find out about it? We got about 10 seconds.
I can give them my number. It's 919-301-1372.
Or contact your local legislator.
Very good. Erica, thank you very much for coming
thank
by.
Thank you.
All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. We're at J.E. Womble & Son in Lillington.